This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:14 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. Up next, the possibility of being able to message across platforms. This is coming by way of the EU signing a Digital Markets Act, which is expected to come into force in October this year. And this is aimed at balancing competition in the tech world, basically reining in the power of larger corporations, allowing smaller entities to compete with the large firms that are mostly based in the US. And ultimately, this could actually require messaging apps developers to make those apps work together. In the EU's press release, it says lawmakers agreed that companies behind WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger, iMessage will have to make their apps interoperable with smaller messaging platforms if these smaller platforms request for it. Now, there have been criticisms, so we are going to get into all of this. Joining us now to talk about this is Swaran Singh, lawyer at Law Partnership. Swaran, welcome to the show. Firstly, could you walk us through the DMA and what it plans to cover?
Well, the DMA, the Digital Markets Act, is intended to rein in the powers, well, that's the indirect intention, of the large tech corporations, and by also allowing smaller companies to compete with the bigger tech companies, which are generally US-based. So it's to provide some kind of an equality within the digital market sphere. And the aims of the DMA is, interestingly, as follows. It says it's to ensure a competitive and fair digital sector with a view to promoting innovation, high-quality digital products and services, fair prices and high quality, and choice in the digital sector. So it's a way in which the European Union is trying to tackle the antitrust issues arising from the digital onslaught by coming up with all-encompassing provision rather than having to tackle it with it, you know, on a case-by-case basis. That has been the situation so far until now.
So at the moment, what legislation is there to govern competition among tech players?
DMA is primarily a European Union or European-centric legislation. And this is to be seen in light of the existing EU antitrust policies, which is found in Articles 101 and 102 of the Treaty on the Functioning of European Union, the TFEU. Essentially, Article 101 says that it prohibits anti-competitive agreements between two or more independent operators. And Article 102 is prohibiting abusive behavior for companies holding a dominant position. So these are the two main pillars of the antitrust provisions in the EU. And it's quite common worldwide to have similar kind of anti-competitive sort of legislation based on these two framework pillars. And therefore, until now, the EU has been using or relying on these two provisions to deal with the digital monopolies. But with the DMA, that might change over time.
So I guess just to clarify further, right, how does this issue of competition and the issues inherent in that tie up into the DMA?
In addition to the antitrust legislation, DMA basically catches you at the gatekeeper stage. So what it tends to do is that introduces obligations targeting the owners or the gatekeepers or the controllers of the doors, leading to the various digital access that is made available to the users. So gatekeepers of the digital players, which has a significant scale and reach in EU, will then be required to come under several obligations within the framework of the DMA. And it's quite serious, though. If you fail to comply, the sanctions are quite high. It's about 10% of your annual turnover for not complying, which is about the same as the existing non-compete sanctions in EU. And there's a proposal by the European Parliament to increase that up to 20% of the annual turnover globally. So it's quite a heavy penalty that could be imposed.
So this act would potentially make messaging apps interoperable, right? Could you tell us what this would look like?
From the user's point of view, it would be an exciting thing because what it does is that it makes various users who are on different platforms, different apps, to be able to interoperate and communicate with someone else. So someone from Telegram can send a message to somebody who's on WhatsApp. And somebody on Apple iMessage is able to message somebody on an Android device because iMessage is only for Apple users for now. But with this interoperability, you will have cross-platform interoperability. So, you could have one master or one super app basically all the apps that are out there end up becoming super apps of sorts. So a smaller player is able to then allow its users to reach out and message somebody outside the platform. So this will entail smaller players, smaller messaging applications, which are just sort of growing, but do not have the height and the extent of the scope of the bigger messaging apps like WhatsApp and instant messaging, or even Telegram. You'll have smaller players able to infiltrate that market and play with big boys, on using their smaller messaging tool. There would not be a discrimination of sorts. So this is supposed to make everybody on the same level and take away the discrimination where, for example, if I'm using, say, Signal, which is a smaller messaging app, and obviously I can't WhatsApp someone where most of my contacts are currently, but this app then allows me to use Signal and message my friends in WhatsApp.
And, okay, so that's the user, but what would this mean for the companies involved?
It would have an opposing effect on both ends of the spectrum. So you would have the tech giants who, from looking at the news reports, are already resisting such change. And they're raising all kinds of concerns where they say, you know, it's going to be difficult to have an end-to-end encryption. It's going to be hard to make it completely interoperable. There's going to be, you know, kinks in the system. So they are, on the one hand, you know, opposing this move, whereas the smaller companies are quite jubilant and they're happy that this is happening because it allows them that entrance into the sandbox where they're able to play with the bigger players without having to have the mass of users which the other apps currently have. So you have, you know, opposing positions being taken by the companies. And in the real world atmosphere, I would say the users are likely to benefit from the fact, from the flexibility of the interoperability. But to what extent will the privacy be maintained? That's a question, you know, to be asked separately. But I think the impact would be, it is going to take away a lot of the monopoly or the strength that each companies have right now on the exclusivity of their existing applications. And that gets chipped away by the entrance of the smaller players.
Would it also mean large changes in terms of how the platforms operate?
Yeah, most definitely. There will be lots of changes. Interoperability is just one of them, where, I mean, basically interoperability means all the big players are told to basically say, look, if you imagine if you're at the door, you're only allowing somebody holding a WhatsApp card to go in. But now you are no longer allowed to do that anymore. Somebody else coming in with a Telegram Signal, you have to let them in. Someone coming with iMessage, let them in. Someone coming with Telegram message, you let them in. So the gatekeeper has to basically stand back and let all of these others who are not from the same app to come in through the door and pass the message. So that's the interoperability. But there's also other things that are likely to be imposed. There's the right to uninstall. Basically, the users are given a choice on the kind of software and operating systems on their phones and their mobile devices. So you have a right to uninstall it. There's also advertising transparency, where there's the exclusivity that each big or tech giant has over the exclusivity of the data collected, exclusivity of preferencing their own products over others. All of that has to be neutralized. So currently, you would find that if you're on WhatsApp, if you're on iMessage, if you're on different kinds of messaging systems, they will try to promote their products to you. So if you're on iMessage, you'll have Apple promoting their products to you to the App Store. If you're on the WhatsApp, you'll have the Facebook coming in and trying to promote their products. So you have this preferencing that happens depending on where your loyalty lies or apps that you use. But with this DMA coming into play, all of that has to be neutralized. You cannot, for example, promote your products or your applications over others. There has to be the neutrality or democratization of what's going to be happening in the digital domain as far as how tech giants promote their own products. These are some of the things that will change.
So critics of this move have said that this might lead to diminished innovation and competition when it comes to the digital economy. How would you respond to this?
It's still a bit early to say how is this going to impact the extent to which innovation and competition is going to be affected. I mean, the fact is, by allowing an equal or level playing field to everyone, you are, in fact, enhancing competition. The whole reason why DMA has come about is because it's a spin-off of the whole antitrust legislation in Europe. So the whole idea is to say, look, you need to allow other entrants to come in and compete with you, right? So competition is likely to be flourishing in the sense that smaller players are encouraged and motivated to enter the scene and perhaps come up with better products, Right now, why some messaging services are not willing to get into the domain is because they know they may have a good product, but they don't have the mass. The users are all on either WhatsApp or Telegram or iMessage. Nobody wants to migrate from those places. They're comfortable. Or even WeChat. They're comfortable where they are. So why would they move? The only way they will move is where they're willing to experiment without giving up on their existing messaging system that they're used to. So competition in that sense flourishes. But does innovation, does it stifle innovation? The answer is yes and no. On the one hand, for the big guys, for the tech giants, it stifles their motivation to innovate because for them, why would they innovate any further when they know that smaller players are going to come into the market and take their chunk of whatever they've built so far? But if you look on the other side, innovation also comes in the sense that smaller players who now know they can go in, they'll want to innovate, come up with a better product to compete with the big boys because they can. So does that mean that the tech giants wake up from their slumber and make the products better? Our answer would be likely to be yes. They can't now. Like this news will definitely wake up many people who are in the tech giants and think, all right, if we don't make our products as good as the new ones coming in or as active or as vibrant or as robust, we're going to be left behind. So I think it also gives an impetus to the tech giants to wake up from the slumber and maybe start bringing in new tools, new applications, new way of doing things that they have not considered before.
So when it comes to the users, what are the pros and cons?
The pros is that it definitely gives users a greater flexibility of moving from one platform to another. It allows them to experiment, allows them to check out new innovative tools. It gives them that freedom of choice, which perhaps they may not have right now. So you have that growth, the robustness, that uniqueness of new products and services being rolled out. I suppose the con of it all, that the interoperability would be a smooth process. So there would be that process of the fair bit of teething problems or lagging if everything becomes smooth. That's one technical glitch that could arise. Second could be the fact that there are concerns about how effective end-to-end encryption would be in a completely interoperable environment. Like right now, most of the WhatsApp or messaging sites out there are promising end-to-end encryption because everything's within their control. The concern would be the moment you allow third-party entrants to come into your domain and the gatekeepers have to allow everyone to come in, how do you detect the messages that you are getting is from your friend? How do you detect that the identity that you have out there is not going to be somehow taken by someone else, theft of identity of sorts? All the data is not properly encrypted because now you have different platforms vying for the same sort of volume of users or volume of activity or traffic out there. In terms of, would you have complete end-to-end encryption? You may not be able to. It's a possibility that each messaging app could say the end-to-end encryption only works entirely or properly if you are within our ecosystem. The moment you decide to interoperate, there's a risk that we cannot guarantee a complete encryption for you. So concerns of privacy, concerns of data leaks, data breaches, identity thefts, all those to me, I believe, are real concerns. Of course, I've heard voices from both sides. On the one hand, of course, coming lobbyists from the big techs are saying this is next to impossible to do a complete encryption, which will be clean and tidy and effective. And then you have lobbyists on the other end of the spectrum who believe that it can be done so long as the big boys are willing to play the game.
So while this is happening in the EU, how would this act affect how the companies operate in other parts of the world?
What is likely to happen is the influence of DMA would impact companies or businesses or individuals who have ongoing relations or connectivity with Europe. So if you're a standalone country where there is hardly much sort of dealings with Europe, you don't have much dealings with Europeans, then it may not, life goes on as usual. I don't think that much of an impact. But if you have situations where, for example, I mean, UK has exited from EU, but they've got strong ties with EU. They are friends and family and work and commercial transactions continues with EU a fair bit. So to that extent, UK may end up having to comply with DMA, or the companies having to comply, because otherwise there could be a complete sort of blockages or ways in which things are carried out. So there could be an indirect application of DMA outside EU by virtue of the fact of the proximity to its business relations with EU.
Swaran, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Swaran Singh, a lawyer at Law Partnership, talking to us about the signing of the Digital Markets Act in the European Union, to be clear, but how this could eventually lead messaging app developers to make their apps interoperable. In other words, you can send people anything from anywhere, I suppose, is one way to look at it. Let us know. I mean, is this something that you would find welcome? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.